In this episode, we discuss clairsentience. We describe what it is, how it often pairs with other intuitive senses, traits of people with very developed clairsentience, and ways to strengthen the skill.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We're talking about clairsentience today.
Yes.
Another one of the clairs.
Clair series.
I think one that should be studied a lot more. Mm-hmm. Because I think definitely there's going to be listeners who this is their main clair.
Correct.
But I think for a lot of people, this is a supporting clair. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone uses this one.
I agree.
And in fact, a lot of times when you're taught anything intuitive, really, but you're taught how to do intuition or read energy, mm-hmm. you're sort of being taught a combination of clairvoyance and clairsentience.
Yep.
A lot of times people will refer to clairsentience in like sort of breakdown categories a little bit. So we're going to talk about that too.
Okay.
But basically it's inner feeling or clear feeling. So like this is a French term, clair, and it means clear.
Right.
So it's basically like your psychic senses, which is a term we don't like. It's the ability to feel what mm-hmm. other people are feeling.
Yes.
It's also works for not people. So you could go into a building and feel something.
Yes.
You could look at an object and feel something. Touching it and feeling something is another one, which we'll get to.
Right.
But people get sort of stuck in just like, oh, I feel other people's emotions. But it's definitely more than that.
Yeah. It's more of like a vibes, like a...
Yeah.
Like this place, like what's off, something's off here.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Clairsentience.
Exactly. Oftentimes, clairsentience and claircognizance are very woven together. So people will say to me, was that my claircognizance or my clairsentience? And it kind of doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I know that's not the answer everybody wants, but as long as you're getting the information in, mm-hmm. then that's all that matters. But it's not just feelings, emotions. It's feelings like I might be around someone and all of a sudden my knee starts to hurt.
Yes.
Okay. And it's because they have a knee issue. A lot of times mediums will be communicating with spirit and all of a sudden their chest will feel heavy and they'll be like, did they die of like a heart attack or something?
So maybe we should clear up that it's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear feeling, but not necessarily like emotional feeling.
Yes.
Like it's physical feelings too.
Feeling emotion and feeling sensations.
Sensations.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All of that. Now, when it comes to clairsentience, only I would say in the last 5 years have I started to see them sort of separate this.
Okay.
And have clair empathy, meaning feeling emotions.
Yes.
And then having clairsentience be more of like the sensations, feelings.
Right.
Okay. Or the physical feelings.
Right.
Now, I think it's a good idea to separate, but I don't think that they're super, super different. I would say I'm gonna make up a figure like mm-hmm. I always do because I don't have the actual facts in front of me. But I'm going to say like 80% of people who are really clairsentient mm-hmm. have both very strongly.
I would agree with you.
Okay. Now, could one be a lot more developed than the other?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about reasons why I think a lot more people are clairsentient than they realize because they have things blocking it
mm-hmm.
going on.
Okay.
But I also think that there are people who really don't pick up physical sensations. They only pick up emotion. And I think that there are people who don't really pick up emotion. They only pick up physical sensations. There's exceptions to every rule.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, this remains one category mm-hmm. because most people experience both. And both skills enhance as you work on this.
Right.
They're not like separate skills, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. People who are or have clairsentience very developed
mm-hmm.
are often called emotionally sensitive.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. If you took out like the modern day connotation to when you call someone sensitive.
Correct.
Then it is true. But we sort of say like someone's sensitive, meaning like they're weak.
Especially if you say emotionally sensitive, like
exactly.
That's a setup.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But what's true with clairsentience, which is also true with highly developed empathy,
mm-hmm.
is that you just have a bigger capacity
right.
for it.
Yep.
And that means you're stronger.
Exactly.
Okay. Or you have the capacity to be stronger. I know some people who are super, super empathic, super, super clairsentient, and very weak emotionally.
Right.
But that's a lot less.
Yeah.
Those are like the outliers.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so these people have just a bigger capacity, and you sort of have to get that muscle strong if you're going to be so sensitive to emotion all the time.
Agreed.
Okay. Emotional intelligence is a big deal when it comes to clairsentience.
That makes sense.
I would say that with the exception of one person that I can think of that we both know, I'll try to beam it into your head or tell you later.
Okay.
People who are very clairsentient tend to also be very emotionally intelligent.
Okay.
All right. Now think about that. Like think about if you're constantly picking up emotions and sensations in other people, mm-hmm. it would make sense that you would gain emotional intelligence because you're taking in the information and then you're probably trying to do something with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And it doesn't mean you've always got it right or that you do, but like you tend to be more.
Right. Because if you're going to shut off the emotions that come with it, then you're going to end up shutting off the intuition that that it's coming from.
Yeah. And, you know, this is like a theory of mine that I truly believe to be true, but there's not really any way to prove this. Mm-hmm. But I really think that if you are taking in intuitive information and not doing anything with it, your intuitive senses start to weaken. Like it doesn't mm-hmm. do as much. Just the taking in is not that much. Like, do you know what I mean? But if you're taking it in and then like using your emotional intelligence and then applying it in your life, that strengthens all of your intuitive muscles.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
It would make sense then that most mm-hmm. clairsentient people, especially when it comes to the empathy side, would be emotionally intelligent.
Yes.
If you want to strengthen your clairsentience, also strengthen your emotional intelligence. Learn more about that.
Yep.
Study that. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay. When people are affected by energy vampires, it's kind of like a trendy term.
Yes.
This is the sense that's being affected.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, oh, that, because people are that.
Oh, no. They definitely are.
It's a real thing. It's a newer term, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But when people are saying like, oh, I didn't like being how it felt being around that person. They were like mm-hmm. an energy vampire. They were sucking the life out of me.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is that person was really attacking my clairsentience.
Right. Even if they don't know it.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. That's the clair affected there.
Yes.
People aren't energy vampires affecting your clairvoyance or cognizance or audience.
Yes.
They're affecting your ability to pick up emotion.
And feeling it all.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Understanding the energy centers, also known as the chakras,
mm-hmm.
is such a big deal
mm-hmm.
for clairsentience and for people who are clairsentient. Okay.
Yes.
Now I feel like we have to say this all the time. We have episodes. We have an overall episodes on the clairs.
Yeah.
Okay. We have specialized episodes on other clairs. So you should go and listen to all of them for a mm-hmm. little bit more information on how the mechanics of these work.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, everybody has all of the clairs.
Yeah.
There's no one who doesn't have a clair.
No.
Okay. But it's just how developed certain ones are.
Right.
And it's a combination of both being born with something.
I think
that they're hereditary. Same as like a learning style would be hereditary.
Agreed.
Okay.
I agree.
But then also what's developed.
Yep.
Okay. You could shut one thing off.
Mm-hmm.
Clairsentience gets shut off a lot. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And then overly develop something else.
Yes. I did
super
that.
Common. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's important to understand that. But when you are working on your clairsentience or you are someone who has a very developed sense of clairsentience,
mm-hmm.
understanding the energy centers or the chakras is, they're the same thing. I'm just using two different terms to represent different cultures. We have to be careful not to only say chakra.
I would agree with you on
that. Yeah. Okay. But they're the same things, just represented differently in different cultures.
And we have episodes on energy work and
we do
Reiki, which talks about chakras.
Exactly. Exactly. So the reason that this is so important is because a lot of times when you're reading something in a clairsentient way, mm-hmm. both physical and emotional,
mm-hmm.
how it's going to come in is through the chakras.
Or through your body.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So you might all of a sudden feel your own heart chakra light up when you're talking to someone.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean by light up? Like that's a very clairvoyant term, but like it could buzz or you could feel
a
it
warm,
affected.
Fuzzy or tingling or... or just full, like fullness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you would want to be able to tell the difference if that was your heart chakra.
You definitely want to be able to tell
the difference. Or if that's the person over there's heart chakra. Absolutely. If you're receiving a message about it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like when you see people, I'm sure you've seen this in teaching Reiki and stuff. When you see people start to learn about the chakras and what they represent, mm-hmm. you know, just people understanding what the throat chakra does and how it reacts and what emotionally it's tied to.
Yep.
When you start to learn that, you see people gain this understanding of, oh, no wonder every time I'm this around problem. That person, right. this happens. Or no wonder yep. whenever I look at that person, I'm sort of drawn to their mm-hmm. heart chakra. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why it's sort of like I think it's like a natural instinctual thing to kind of understand the energy centers.
Yep.
But I also think when you learn it, it helps simplify yep. what you're picking up in people.
Right.
Okay.
Especially if you're using a clair that's like happening in your body.
Yeah.
You need to know like what's going on with your body energetically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Energy workers use clairsentience and chakras or energy centers very, very often. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've heard you say this. I've heard other energy workers also be like, oh, when I was doing this, I felt a lot of like stagnant energy mm-hmm. at your heart chakra, or I felt some like interesting stuff at your sacral chakra. Can you tell me what's mm-hmm. going on? Or are you feeling any back pain or, you know, right. connected to that? And what they're doing is using clairsentience. Yep. Okay. And now we'll get to this, but clairsentience often like buddies up with another clair.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll hear them say something like, I saw like some energy around your heart chakra.
Yeah.
Or I felt like a buzzing at this chakra or whatever. They're just sort of like teaming it up.
That's a good point.
With a, like they had a feeling and then they probably grabbed yep. another chakra to confirm.
Yeah.
Or another energy intuition yeah, clair like, to confirm.
If that yeah. Like sense. I think if, you know, with energy work, I'm thinking about Reiki, like you would hear people be like, a lot of times it mixes with clairvoyance.
Yeah.
Like they're pulled to like the lower part of the body and then they might be like seeing a color or even just like seeing energy or
yeah.
something. And that, yeah. then it jumps to clairvoyance.
Yeah. yeah. Yes. And not everybody who does energy work is using clairsentience because only the people who are also feeling it in their own body.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you might be using clairvoyance. You might be using clairtangency when you put your hands on someone, you're feeling it. You're most likely using a combination of all of those things, yeah. to be honest with you, right? Yeah. But when you're touching someone or you go to talk to someone and all of a sudden you're feeling different sensations,
yeah,
that is your clairsentience.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
The connection between empathy and clairsentience is... it's like they're twins, to be honest with you.
Right.
Okay. Even if you're not super, like you pick up more physical sort of things, mm-hmm. you are still a super empathic person. Like I've never met someone with highly developed clairsentience that wasn't highly, highly empathic.
Well, you'd have to be because you're literally feeling it yourself. That's what empathy is.
Exactly.
That's the definition of empathy.
Exactly.
Right.
So sometimes people get like a little caught in the weeds though. And they're like, well, what's the difference between empathy and clairsentience? And the thing is that empathy falls under clairsentience is yeah. the answer to that. They're not, you know, not everything that happens in clairsentience is empathy, but there's an element of empathy in anything that happens with clairsentience.
Agreed.
Does that make sense? Yep. Yep. So they're very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about this in the beginning, but a lot of people really focus on clairsentience when it comes to people. Mm-hmm. And I think it misses a lot of clairsentient people. And I think of my mother in this example. So my mm-hmm. mother did real estate for a really long time.
Yes.
And she would go in and out of all these different yes. houses. And she would very often pick up and feel really strong feelings and emotions and energy in different houses. She mm-hmm. wasn't touching. She was like entering, or she was
yes.
driving the driveway and she would feel something.
Yes.
Okay. That is clairsentience.
Sure is.
Okay. So I think a lot of people, even though they'll go for a walk on land somewhere mm-hmm. and they'll feel like, oh, there's something going on. I know around here.
Definitely around here.
You know, there's a lot of like, you know, especially like big battles, like mm-hmm. Native Americans and colonizers coming over, and these battles yeah. on this land, and it can feel very layered, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then this happened here, and then this happened here, because there's so much history. So a lot of times people will sense that in these areas, mm-hmm. and that's clairsentience.
Yeah. Or if you go to like a graveyard. I mean, that's, yes, that's a very spooky example, but.
No, but it's true. Where we live in something called the Bridgewater Triangle.
Yes.
Which we might do an episode about if you guys want to learn about it. But it's basically a paranormal hotspot.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's all different theories as to why. I won't get super into that. Mm-hmm. But the people who are studying that and even into it, even just learning about it, mm-hmm, they're talking about clairsentience. They're, yes, talking about the energy in the land and the effect that's having on people,
right? Like the memory in it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So that's all that. So lands, buildings, it can be in an object, but, mm-hmm, only if you're not touching it. If you touch something and get energy from it, it's different. That's called clairtangency. We'll do an episode on that at some point.
Like grandma's ring.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go to like a medium and they're like, did you bring a piece of jewelry for me to hold on to? They're using their clairtangency for that. And it is different. People who are super clairsentient, mm-hmm, don't necessarily like feel something when they touch.
Yes.
Okay. It's sort of entering the energetic space so that they sound similar, but they are very different skills.
Yeah. They are similar, but also not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Clairsentient people as a whole, mm-hmm, have a lot of trouble discerning their own stuff, mm-hmm, from other people's stuff.
Well, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because especially people who were born with it pretty developed.
Yep.
Okay. Because it's very difficult. It's not like we are growing up in a society that teaches you about this, where, right, you know, at least if you are our age, you weren't going to go talk to your parents or your grandmother about,
right,
this.
Exactly.
Oh, sometimes I have trouble figuring out if this is my feeling or someone else's.
Exactly.
That's clairsentience.
I think I've said this on an episode before, and I say in all of my Reiki classes when I used to do that, mm-hmm, actually when I was talking about boundaries.
Oh, yes.
Which boundaries are helpful.
Very.
but I didn't realize that I was using clairsentience, mm-hmm, without knowing I was even intuitive or whatever. But like, yeah, when I would go into public places, mm, and I would like be all of a sudden be really mad.
Yes.
And I'd be like really frustrated and like I'd be in Target and like being like, oh, or kill everybody in here.
Yes.
Be like, why am I so mad? I was fine when I walked in here. And
yes,
then it dawned on me that it wasn't me. Like it was that lady over there who was like yelling at the cashier, mm-hmm, or it was like people who were like smashing carts against each other. Like,
yeah,
I didn't realize I was picking that up and absorbing it.
Yes, and no one has taught you how to shield from that.
Correct.
No one has taught you. I don't remember what episode it's in. It's probably in the energy work episode, mm-hmm, where it could be in the boundaries one too, where I talk about the mist.
Yes.
Okay. And like, yep, having just something to the outside of your, right, energy field where nothing crosses without permission.
Exactly.
Okay. And just setting that intention, mm-hmm, super, super important when it comes to clairsentience. Otherwise you're going to walk around like that.
And you have no idea why you're so mad all the time or why you leave a place and you're exhausted. You're,
yes,
like, why am I so tired? I just went into grocery shopping. Like, it's not a big deal.
Exactly.
That's why, because you're processing everyone's energy and not knowing it.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone into places. I mean, I teach how to shield. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, even if you're an expert,
right,
you're going to slip up sometimes. You're going to like not have it,
of course,
perfect. All right. But I've gone into places before where everything was fine, but, mm-hmm, I felt like garbage while I was in there. And I'm like, what the heck is going,
yeah,
on? And I leave and then later find out that something had happened the day before there.
Or like, right, yep,
you know, like, it's not like, you could be like, everyone's fine in Target. Yeah. Why am I having like a meltdown? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, this is like a weird side note, but,
okay,
clairsentient people do not like to go to Walmart, and they don't want Walmart to come after us.
No. I don't like Walmart.
Okay. So Jamie doesn't mind if they do.
No, they have terrible, terrible business practices. They don't treat, yeah, their employees fairly.
Right.
Don't get me started.
Okay. They won't be a sponsor, clearly.
They will not. They're not allowed to sponsor.
But clairsentient people will say, I don't like going to Walmart. Or if I go to Walmart, I have to put up all kinds of like shielding, like do it really, really strong.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, why? Like, what is it? Like,
because of what I just said.
Yes. But the fact that, right, it exists in every single store.
It's because Walmart is created to like prey upon the oppression of people. So they go like where people can't afford to shop anywhere else.
Yep.
And then they hire people that like still have to get like government assistance because they don't pay them enough.
Yep.
So it's like this den of poverty.
Yep.
That's created by this system, not the fault of the people that are there or working there.
Correct.
It's like the system.
Yeah.
And so there are these like hot spots of shitty energy.
They feel like portals to hell.
Yes.
And you're like walking on top of it.
Right.
Like, well,
it's because the whole system is made to feel like that.
Yeah.
Like that's the only choice.
Yeah. And you know, people will say, like, I know people in this area anyways that will be like, I'll only go to that Walmart. I won't go to the other one.
Because that one feels better.
That one has the best, it's still bad, but it's the least
right.
gross energy. And it's like, of all the terrible energies, I would say grief and oppression are the worst. So you're talking about both existing a lot in there.
Exactly, because when you're oppressed,
mm-hmm.
you feel the grief of that. Like when you have to work this job that doesn't pay your bills.
Exactly.
That's grief. That's oppression. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fuck you, Walmart. I didn't see us going here today, but
I love it. I've said many times, angry Jamie is my favorite Jamie. So when she just spouts, I didn't think Walmart would trigger you that much.
Presented itself. I had to take it.
I really enjoy it. Okay. Jamie doesn't like Walmart, everybody. So it's really important for everybody, but especially people who have highly developed clairsentience and use it regularly
mm-hmm.
to remember to observe energy,
correct.
Not absorb energy. Now, people get a little stuck on this, so I just want to explain this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know if this makes sense.
Okay.
Clairsentient people will often say, but I have to absorb the energy because I'm feeling what other people are feeling.
Okay.
And my answer to that is no, you don't.
Okay.
Okay. Because I think we talked about this in our Intuition for Beginners episode. But when you are reading energy,
mm-hmm.
you are observing it. You're bringing it into your energetic body.
Correct.
Physical body.
We talked about it in that episode and the energy work episode.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
So you want to, when you're observing the energy, it makes sense that you're going to pull it into your energy fields. Okay.
Yes.
So, but you're not going to pull it into your physical body.
No, this is not like Ghosts where Whoopi Goldberg, like yeah. the spirit compels her.
Yes.
Like you can pull it into your energetic body, which is like
yes.
this far out. If you're watching, it's like, just like what? 10,
like an arm
16.
Length. Yeah.
It's like, it just goes around your body.
Yeah. So like if you took your arms and put them straight over your head and then like made a big circle around your body,
that's your energetic
yeah,
body.
Yeah. You've seen pictures of an aura. That's,
yes.
that's it.
Right. Yeah. And there are different layers to it. You
yes.
can pull the energy in that close, but not like into yourself.
Yes.
That's a different layer of your energetic body.
And here's how you know
mm-hmm.
when you've done it right versus done it wrong. And I know those aren't great terms, but really,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do it wrong. Like you're going to hurt yourself.
You're going to feel like shit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. If you're using clairsentience, and I'll give two examples, both emotional and physical.
Mm-hmm.
If you've just brought it into your energetic body, you
mm-hmm.
are going to feel mildly affected.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to feel a sense of sadness if the person that you've pulled their energy into your energy field is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it's a physical thing, you're going to feel like, oh, like I feel like it's a little bit hard to breathe. Okay. You are feeling that sensation, but it's not hard for you to breathe. You're feeling sadness, but you're not sad.
And you don't need to be that sad.
No.
And you don't need to be choking and having a hard
no,
time breathing.
You can't really
like,
help anybody
you
if
don't
that
need,
happens.
Right. Like that's sort of that, like, I don't know, what would you call it? It's not a victim mentality. There's something about it. I think like intuitive people sometimes get caught in this, like, it's like an ego trap.
Yes.
Like where you have to feel like just as badly as
some
that
sort
person.
Of martyr or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
You don't need to feel it 100%, especially if this is your Claire, you're going to be emotionally intelligent. You're going to be empathic and empathetic. You don't need to feel the whole thing. You can observe it.
Yeah.
You can feel a little bit of it and then you can help the person.
Because what you're trying to gain is an understanding. That's
yeah.
what empathy is.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So if you understand it, then you can dismiss that energy and then you can go help that person.
Exactly.
Should you choose, you have no responsibility to do
no.
so. Should you choose to,
correct.
You could go do that.
Right.
Okay. But if you then become sad or
mm-hmm.
also asthmatic, you are not as equipped to help the person. It's the
not
deep dark hole theory.
Exactly.
I say it all the
exactly.
time.
I was just going to say that.
There's someone in a deep dark hole. You can jump in too, but now there's just two people
help?
In the deep dark hole and no one's getting out.
No.
So stay out of the hole and shout down instructions, throw a rope, do whatever you can to help the person out.
All 911.
Exactly. Exactly. Very important for clairsentient people.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to this, a lot of clairsentient people make an energetic mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's hard because some people are just sort of naturally throw their energy at stuff instead of pulling something into them. It's like a weird, bad habit people create. In fact, I hope it's okay. I don't think she'll mind, but like I yell at your daughter for doing this all the time. She does it all the time. Okay. Where she throws her energy at something.
Yes.
And so then her energy, it's like you threw a piece of yourself way over there.
Right.
And the problem is that now your energy field is as big as from there to there. And everyone's trampling through it that's passing by, all whatever's
right.
there.
Okay. Right. And if you don't know even to call it back,
yes.
then it's forever out there. Then you're forever like,
yes.
you're forever maxed out.
Yes. You're walking around like mm-hmm. you go to Walmart or you go to a hospital and you're like, why, yeah. why can't I like keep boundaries right now? And yeah. it's because you're throwing your energy field everywhere. Way too far.
Right.
You want to pull energy into you mm-hmm. and then dismiss it, that's not throw your energy out. Clairsentient people often have this bad habit.
And I think that once you are aware of that and you start working on it, it becomes like second nature. You don't think about it after a while.
Yeah. It's sort of yeah. like if you, it's like a bad habit, like if you bite your nails or something, but once you break the bad habit, you don't really want to bite your nails anymore.
No, right.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Like you're like, yep. oh no, that I know how bad that feels and the consequences of that. I don't want to do that anymore, yep. but you will feel so much better if you stop tossing your energy at stuff and please. Pull it towards you yes. instead.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. One of the things that I think is super, super helpful when you're working on your clairsentience or you've been using it is the concept. This is a very clairvoyant concept. So maybe we can like have people tell us what like another way to do it.
Okay.
But you want to take like an energetic shower.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cleanse. So you just, I'm going to tell you the clairvoyant way. You close your eyes. You imagine you pull like a chain of some kind and water comes and shoots all over you.
I mean, that is clairvoyant, but it's also just like a visualization. Anyone yeah. can do that. You don't need to use your clair to do that. Just visualizing
yes.
the shower
yeah.
or whatever
know,
it is.
Some people like a sound bath or something. That's mm-hmm. fine, but you can't quickly, you have to like set that
no,
up.
No, you have to be able to do it like as you think of it. You need yes. to be able to like pop the, I don't know, for me, it's like a clear bubble that goes over me that
yeah.
I can see and hear and smell through all of it. It's not
yes.
like, it's not impenetrable.
Yes.
But that needs to literally just like activate.
Yes. And like, you're going to screw it up. Like you're mm-hmm. going to have pulled energy into your physical body.
Yes.
You're going to have held some other energy in your energy field too long. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to like, all these things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You guys, you can do this. This happens to me often.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch a movie or be reading a book and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my brain's running it. Like I'm not even aware of it.
Yeah.
And it's because I sucked that energy.
Too much.
I know it's not even real, but I
yeah,
sucked
but
the energy of it
that.
Into my energy field and then didn't let go of it. I held it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Your brain doesn't know it's not real.
Exactly.
It's just running it.
So, but it's
yeah.
still energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, especially if it caused emotion in you,
yeah.
it's energy. So if you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about fourth wing,
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you either, but
yeah.
you need to just quickly be able to do an energy shower to like, oh, I got to wash
Turn
that away.
Yeah.
You can pull it back in later, but you don't need it at 3 a.m.
Or something like that. You could do like the basket trick.
Yes.
Like
yes.
you take the idea, you take the energy of it and you visualize putting it into a basket,
mm-hmm.
closing it and just putting it away until you wake up.
Exactly. I love that trick because a lot of times the reason you're not able to fully let go of something in your energy field
mm-hmm.
is because you feel like you're not going to be able to pull it back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're visualizing the basket and it's mm-hmm. like, it's right there, but it's not,
I can get it.
It's literally right outside of my energy field and I can pull it back in.
Yep.
It's super, super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people with clairsentience people with other clairs don't realize that there's a clairsentient trick that can really, really help confirm intuitive information. I do it all
okay.
the time. It's one of my favorites. But it's kind of calling in and treating yourself to find a physical sensation that happens in your body to confirm if your intuitive thing you think is correct.
Okay.
All right. So it kind of works along the idea of like a pendulum or
mm-hmm.
like muscle testing
mm-hmm.
to see what you're doing is seeing what you intuitively think is true or false.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a bad dream about you.
Okay.
Okay. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if the dream was actually intuitive information?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're going to want to use positive statements. So you're not going to be like, is Jamie
dead?
Right. Like that's not going to really work. You're just going to trigger your ego. But I could say, is Jamie okay?
Okay.
All right. And then what will happen is my clairsentience will activate a feeling in my body. Now, mine exists behind my eyes. I think this is a popular place. Okay.
Mine's in front of my eyes.
Okay. Right. So this is why Jamie makes fun of me all the time for my eyes getting teary. Okay. It's because my clairsentience gets activated. All right. And I get really worked up and passionate, and the emotion and the energy of stuff gets pulled in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what happens. But if I'm like, is Jamie okay? I will feel that feeling behind my eyes.
Right.
And I will know, oh, you're fine. It was just a dream.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I did this recently. This is like probably strange, but my son hurt his toe, his big toe. My youngest son gets hurt constantly.
A good amount.
Oh my God. It's crazy. Okay. He's that kid. And so I was trying to figure out if it was broken or not broken. Yeah. And you're not going to really get that kind of an answer, but mm-hmm. I was like, do I need to be really worried about this? Mm-hmm. Nothing. I'm like, is it broken? Nothing. And then I was like, should I take him to the doctors? Yes. Mm. Okay. I felt the yes. Is this something that's going to be a big deal? Nothing. So then you got to find the way to say it. Like, is he going to be okay next week? Feeling. Mm. Okay. Yep. So like, you just got to kind of play with it yep. and see what happens. But even sometimes someone will say something to me and they'll say a certain sentence and I'll feel it happen behind my eyes.
Yep.
And it's my clairsentience being like, hey, that thing that's that they the said, thing. Pay attention.
Gotcha.
Okay. So even if clairsentience is not in your top, so mm-hmm. I would say for me, it's probably like third or fourth.
Same.
Okay. I use it more as a supporter. Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing. You could be like, let me call that in. Okay. Yeah. If my clairvoyance like says to me like, oh, something's wrong with Jamie's knee. Okay. And I like my clairvoyance goes, I'll use my clairsentience to see if I feel anything in my knee.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
You can kind of use it as like a confirmation tool.
Yep.
Anybody with any order of clairs can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a practice thing.
I also get like, I call them confirmation chills.
Ooh.
And they'll only be on my right thigh.
Oh.
So that's how I know it's not just like goosebumps or whatever.
Yes.
Like,
it's a clairsentient feeling. Yeah. Very good to develop. And all you have to really do is just kind of constantly ask, like, can I feel in my body the spot, you know, where clairsentience will confirm things for me or whatever sentence you want. And then just do it like a couple times a day for a week.
Yeah.
And see if it stays consistent in one area.
And by the way, maybe it should be said that this idea is the same as using a pendulum or muscle testing. Those are just like more outwardly physical manifestations of those things.
Exactly.
It's all the same energy. You're like asking the same things. You're processing the same energy. You're just using an outside source, probably because it feels more real.
I think all of those things you're describing are taking your clairsentience and putting something visual in front of you.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. So I think people who are drawn to that kind of stuff are probably clairvoyant. And they're developing, they're trying to get their clairsentience out into a visual.
Yes, agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's not true for everybody, but that's what it is, like to your point.
Yeah.
Like, those are all clairsentient things to do.
And they're all the right answer.
Yes.
Like, it's not like one works better than the other or one's more right than the other.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Another thing that is an example of clairsentience, and again, this is something that people with it more developed will experience more of and some people won't, but it's temperature changes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
So you can all of a sudden like feel a temperature shift for an emotion or for a spirit around you or stuff like that. This happens to me once in a while. It doesn't happen to me a lot, but there are some people who will be like, whoa, I could just felt a cold breeze.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Or like a feeling of heat passing by me or whatever. Those are clairsentience examples. That doesn't happen to you.
No.
It's not super common that it will happen to me. But there are definitely some people who will mention it all the time.
Yeah.
That is an example of clairsentience.
Yep.
Okay. I want to go through traits of clairsentient people. And a lot of them, I think people aren't expecting.
Okay.
And people are going to be like, oh, that's my clairsentience.
Oh. Okay.
But I want to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come right back.
We'll be right back after this short break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.
know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep. Beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Hey y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you. Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week.
All right, Heather, this obsessed segment, people might not like.
I don't think it would be the first time because we got a lot of people who didn't like our one about the bear, which we didn't come up with that concept. We just
I just sent you another TikTok about it again. Yeah. Like it's like a whole phenomenon. It's like really weird that that's the thing that like people didn't like from us.
But it's fine.
I don't know, man. I'd rather fight a bear.
This one though is more like, you're not going to like it, but you're going to see it and you're going to be like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you do some of these things, I don't want to like bury the lead, but if you do some of these things, it's not automatically that you have a problem.
Yeah.
It's just that
I do some of these, I have done some of these things.
Correct. Yeah. So it was a TikTok that I sent to you, being that we both struggle with eating issues and dysmorphia and all this stuff. So that's a common content theme for us.
Yeah. It's a common topic we discuss. And also it's one that I don't think we figured out yet.
No, I don't. No, I
just anyone,
don't,
not no, just not, us. No, even the experts. Agreed. I think they're still getting it wrong.
Agreed. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But it was this TikTok about how, you know, there was a big trend for a while about almond moms and how like Gen Xers were, or like we had almond moms.
Yeah. Gen Xers and millennials.
Sort of boomer parents were almond moms to their kids.
Yeah.
And it was like basically like, or it could be called like a no ingredient house or just an ingredient house.
Yes.
Like no real meals, just ingredients.
And it's sort of the reason it's called almond mom, if you don't know, is because there was a thing. I remember this. My mother was never this.
Yeah.
Luckily. I do too. But I remember this where people would be like, oh, I'm just going to have a handful of almonds and that'll be enough that I don't have to eat anything else.
And it's basically like a socially acceptable eating disorder.
It's a full on eating disorder. Yeah. Being an almond mom is having a mother with an eating disorder.
Exactly.
But the term is also like they're then sort of putting that onto you onto in
the
some kids way.
Because the whole house is like designed around that. Like they're doing the food shopping. So all you have are almonds and like ingredients for like healthy recipes and stuff. So like kids grew up in our generations feeling like they went home to houses sometimes.
Yeah.
That like didn't have enough food in them.
Yeah. There was no snacking. You know, almonds were, you were having it instead of a meal. The mother wasn't sort of shaming you for wanting like a cheeseburger
or something. If you say like, you know, if you don't want to eat this apple for a snack, then you're not really hungry.
Exactly.
Like that type of like food programming that happens.
Yeah. Instead of like intuitively going like, what does my body want? What does it need? Right. You're going like, well, I'm only going to give it the bare minimum, which is these 6 almonds. Or do you remember when it was like a big deal that like eating celery burned more calories than the celery actually was? So people would eat celery and like lettuce, I think, is one of those foods too. I remember negative calories. There's like a list of them.
Yeah. So this TikTok was saying that the modern day version of that.
Yes.
I don't know if she gave it a name.
No. Well, there was like she called it like
clean eating.
Yeah. But I don't think everyone who is in clean eating qualifies. Mm. So it's hard. There's like a technical term that's like orthorexia.
It's a type of eating disorder,
which is what this is,
right? But she was saying that like the current version of the almond mom is like the mom who is like obsessed with clean eating or tracking macros, or
there's a lot of chemicals in this
all that stuff. Now granted, I know a lot of our listeners or viewers watch stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying like
that. Well, because there's an extreme version of it,
right?
Right. Exactly. Like for me, like I remember the first time my son had McDonald's. He was, I think it was last year. He was 13.
Yes.
And he was just at someone else's. So he was like texting me, like, "Can I have it?" And
yes.
I was like, yeah.
Same okay. Kids, right.
So in right. that. Is true because not because I'm like, you can't ever let a chemical touch your body, but because I know what's in that food and I don't really want you to have it a lot. Do you have it once in a while? Totally fine.
Right.
So if that's you,
yes,
no problem. If you tend to like, I like to shop at Trader Joe's because I know there's no GMOs in the food.
Exactly.
Okay.
Different.
But, yeah. Different. But there's a line
right.
that I think is kind of hard to see. And maybe that's just because I have clearly disordered eating issues.
Right. Right.
But like, I can see when someone's gone way over the line.
Yes.
But there are sometimes people are talking where I'm like, ooh, your toes are on it.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and I think it feels like you're making good, healthy choices for your body, for your family, but you don't realize how much control yeah. is at play and then how that's affecting your family.
Yeah.
Like what you're modeling for your kids.
I read something once that said anytime – your body asks you for some sort of food
mm-hmm.
and you say no mm-hmm. and give it something else or don't give it to it. That is disordered eating.
Agreed.
Now, I think that that's true, but I think there's like 27 asterisks in it. And I think that's what the problem is.
Exactly.
Okay. So, because there are some times when it's okay, like it's okay to want to lose weight.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight.
No.
But we sort of get this like vilified thing where like, oh, you want to lose weight. That's bad. And like just be quiet about it over there.
Yeah.
Do it. But like really struggle to do it. Like let us see you sweat and like do it over there and be quiet.
Yeah.
Or you have to just fully accept your body.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of nuances here. There's a lot of other elements at play. It's just that we've become so sick in the head as a society.
Right.
About everyone should look one way and like what health actually is that mm-hmm. we want to tell everybody, especially women, exactly especially women. How to shift and change their bodies.
Exactly.
So it's really, really fucking hard
mm-hmm.
to know where the lines are.
And I do think that there can be an overlap in this industry,
yep.
this wellness industry, when we start talking about like toxins and chemicals and, you know, and then this sounds like a great idea. So all of a sudden you're now a part of this MLM,
yeah,
right?
It's which like the like, pipeline that we talk
it
about.
It is the pipeline. Yeah. And then you're on the pipeline. You don't know that this MLM that you're a part of is owned by like the Mormon Church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so like you think you're on this intuitive wellness journey, but mm-hmm. really like you're funneling money to like
yeah.
a ginormous
yeah.
religious cult.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, think of how many people you see sort of start in sort of the clean eating thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would put myself in this example of like aware of the chemicals and stuff in mm-hmm. food, aware of like it in cleaners and like,
yes.
what are we breathing
yes.
it? Like an awareness of that.
Yep.
Okay. Wanting to have less of that in your life.
Same.
Wanting to have, you know, less stuff sprayed on your food because correct. Your digestive system doesn't work.
Can't
and you
handle
went to
it.
Look into it and you realize what we're spraying on our food. Okay.
Right.
So think of all the people that go there
mm-hmm.
and then they're in that space, which is a good space in my opinion to be in. Right.
Yeah.
And then they sort of get sucked down the pipeline into all of a sudden being like anti-vax and anti, you know, like the government is trying to poison us all the time where it's kind of like, yeah, they sort of are, but
right.
like, they fall down that
right and then you're talking about place. Like eugenics and you're talking about like it's such a slippery slope
is the perfect terminology for this.
And if you're like that kind of mom and you're doing it or parent or whoever, that's what you're modeling for your kids.
Yeah. And I think where like this type of mom
mm-hmm.
like where you really see it as like a problem is like shaming kids
yes
for having something that isn't
right
quote unquote clean eating or like, you know, there's a version of clean eating where you do your best and
right.
you don't always do it. And
right.
there's a version where like, you're not allowed to have a cupcake at a birthday party and you're six.
Exactly. All under the guise of like health.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, they're going to have beets in the car or something. And it's like, well, now you're shaming your kid. Now you're teaching them something unhealthy.
And they can't participate and they can't be like, now they're
yeah.
other
yeah.
from the group.
Yes.
Right.
And instead of going in and like helping that mother with her disordered eating,
mm-hmm.
we just are like, oh, they're a weird hippie. And all of a sudden they're that weird lady on TikTok singing about the aliens. but all they did was started by like trying to cut some chemicals out of their life.
Yes. Like, yeah, healing her bladder or whatever, or kidney or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. And Robin Williams is on your galactic. Oh, that. Like that lady too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's just something interesting to be mindful of.
Yes, I agree.
But like, I think our generation's kids will be talking about those kinds of moms.
I agree.
Yeah. Where we talk about the almond moms.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Jay, let's talk about some traits of people with highly developed clairsentience.
Okay.
All right. The first one is that they have an easier time managing and detecting other people's emotions versus their own.
Oh, okay.
That sound familiar to you? Yes. The clairsentience, like I think of you in this sense, like you're a really good emotional manager of other people.
I am.
Yeah. And not just people you know. Yeah. I've seen you do it to strangers before. Mm-hmm. Like it's a natural ability. Mm-hmm. That is you using your clairsentience.
Right.
Now, what's interesting, and I think I have this as a point. Oh, yeah. My next point of this is that claircognizance and clairsentience in times like this are so woven together.
Yes.
So people who are very claircognizant, you'll go like, oh, I use this part of clairsentience a lot. Mm-hmm. And then people who are really clairvoyant will be like, oh, I use clairsentience like this a lot. Like, it's because it's like a really, like I said before, it's like a buddy. It's like a supporter of so many other ones.
Really well together.
Some people do have it as their main, but I think it's more common for it to be a supporter.
Right.
So you see it like that. So again, similar to claircognizance, you'll sense an emotional shift in a room really quickly. Something that I've actually seen you do this, to one of your children, where as soon as like they were in pain before they had any physical, I don't even know if they knew yet, you like looked and were like, are you okay?
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's the whole claircognizance bit of it. Is it like I do it without knowing it?
Right.
Right.
So it's like it wasn't like if it was clairvoyant, if it was me,
right,
I would have felt like super drawn to look at my kid and gone like, what's going on? And then I would have felt it as soon as I looked.
Mm-hmm.
But clairsentience will sometimes just all of a sudden you feel it, or claircognizance will be like, your kid, something's going on, and you'll just be like, I think it's your stomach or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like they pair like that.
Yeah.
Very common. Both emotional and physical.
Interesting.
Yes. I really think clairsentient people will pick up an emotional shift before the person that is having the emotion.
That's probably what was happening in the scenario you were describing. But I think to your point is that like sometimes you're so aware of everyone else that you don't, you sort of put your own feelings to the back. So you're maybe less aware. Like that, again, with my kids, they'll be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. And then I'll like feel my face.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like, oh, I'm like scowling. And I didn't know I was, and nothing was wrong. I was probably processing everything around me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that happens a lot. And I also think that all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that conversation I was in bothered me until I got home and like started processing it. And I realized I had all these feelings about it. And it's because you were so in tune with everyone else's energy that you sort of weren't dialed into your own.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really helpful, but there's a balance that you have to find. Like when I'm doing-
Well, when you want to go back and yell at people because you didn't say anything.
Yeah. Right. Like I should have said this.
Should have said this.
Yeah. Right. You know, when I'm doing sessions, and I know like if you're doing energy work or something, right? Like if I'm doing that, I don't even know I'm hungry or I have to pee.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason is that that's not helpful to know. Mm. Okay. But I do know if I need a sip of water, and I do know if I need to turn the light off, or I do know if I need to like shift my position. So like you can find the stuff that's okay to cut out and the stuff that you need to sit with.
Yep.
If I'm listening to something hard, someone telling me like a really hard story, it could be in a session, it could be just out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to block my own stuff a little bit, but I'm going to then go later and deal with it.
Right.
Okay. So it's not like an all or nothing is my point. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Clairsentient people experience physical sensations a lot, like tingling, sometimes pain or discomfort when they're around certain people. So I hear it, they'll be like, why, you know, they're out to lunch with a few friends or something, and they're like, oh, my hip is killing me. My hip is killing me. And then they leave and they realize it's their gone. Hip is gone. Like, right. Their hip is gone. Their hip pain is gone, right? They have a headache. As soon as they leave that area, the headache goes away.
That's happened.
Often. But it can be something small, like a tingling.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, like, a lot of times I'll feel like itchy somewhere. Mm. Okay. And as soon as I leave wherever I was, I don't feel that way anymore. And I'm like, huh, I don't think that was mine. Coincidence, I don't think I was, right. I don't think I shielded myself well enough.
Yeah. There.
Okay. Very common. Also, sometimes when clairsentient people are like, I don't know why, but every time I'm around that person, my arm hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They'll say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's
clairsentience.
Exactly.
Right.
You're picking up something.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very common clairsentience problem. And it's also a very common empath problem. And it's, I know Jamie's going to give me a look as soon as I say it, because I suffer from this problem all the time. Okay. They tend to see the best in people. Yeah. And often at their own expense, because they will be like ignoring what they're currently doing and be like, but I can see the best in them. And so they let people be a little toxic for too toxic for too long.
Yes. It happens sometimes.
It's kind of the opposite of claircognizance in a way.
Yeah.
Where claircognizance right. will be like, I don't know why, but I'm just done with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Clairsentience can make you be like, but I can see, I can feel why they're suffering.
Yeah.
I'm sort of excusing their behavior, or, you know.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like, that's an example of clairsentience, because yes. you're sensing like what's going on and like the potential. And like, if they just healed this, like that's all clairsentient behavior.
Yep. That's a great point.
And it's a bitch. We know it, but we do it anyways, but we try.
Yeah.
Okay. Clairsentient people are people who have been using their clairsentience for an extended amount of time,
mm-hmm.
will have trouble staying grounded.
Yes.
Okay. I have so much Taurus in my chart that I don't really have a lot of trouble being grounded. Okay.
And when you do, you know it immediately.
It's so strong and overwhelming. Yeah. I also have a lot of sensory issues. So like when they start activating a lot, I know I'm not grounded.
Right.
And it's very easy for me to reground.
Right.
I love to go hug a tree or put my feet in the grass, but I can literally just think of a tree and it'll ground my energy.
Yeah. Or you go for lots of walks.
I do. That helps me. There's also that, like, what is it? The bilateral
EMDR.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. Okay. But when you have someone who's very clairsentient, the ability to stay grounded is way harder, and you have to think about it more. You have to put more effort into being grounded.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just think it's that throwing your energy out too far. It's like keeping too much energy in your energy fields. It's absorbing too much. I think that's why.
Yeah. It's like, get back in your body.
Yeah.
Get back into it. Like, you've floated away. You've gone to wherever you think the issue is.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yes. I mean, just think about any time you've been around someone that you were like feeling their pain, like somebody you really care about was going through a really hard time and talking to you about it, and you were just like feeling so sad for them, and you got home, you are going to feel so ungrounded.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Even if you just are like, if I'm like the example you're given, I did sessions yesterday, and I said to you, I was talking like in a circle to you on a Marco Polo, and I was like, don't worry, I'm going for a walk. And I did. I went for a walk. Like, I need to go outside and walk around to, that was like a bigger level for a long amount of hours.
That was
so
a
I
lot.
Need to go do that. But people who are naturally very clairsentient, you'll see them be like, I have to go outside every half an hour. I have to go look out the window or feel sun on my face.
Right.
That's a clairsentient trying to reground.
Yep.
If you are clairsentient, you should have, I know should's not the best word when we're talking about this, but I think it'd be a great idea for you to have crystals.
I was just going to say a crystal.
Just grab it, because you don't even have to go anywhere. You can just hold it, you know, have it in your purse and just put it in your hand for a second and put it back and you're good.
Yep.
Grounding doesn't have to be like a 45-minute meditation.
No.
Do that. Okay. All right. Clairsentient people oftentimes struggle a lot with codependency.
That makes sense.
I think it really does, because a lot of times clairsentient people, in order to feel like calm and peaceful themselves, they need all the people around them to.
That's a great point.
Okay. So like you can understand why that would develop.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why you'd be like really susceptible to it.
Boundaries.
Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries.
You need boundaries.
Put that
that
on
does
t-shirt.
Make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. They have trouble returning to places where they had a bad experience.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, first of all, I think everybody has trouble returning to a place they have a bad experience. I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's a different level of it when you have a clairsentient person. Yeah. You know, there are sometimes where people don't remember exactly where something traumatic happened to them, but when they enter, they go there or they drive by, their body has a very physical reaction.
Right.
That's clairsentience.
Yep.
Okay. So the people who are like, even if it was just like, that's where my boyfriend and I went to dinner and we broke up, they like physically can't go into that restaurant.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's a stronger.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Clairsentient people tend to be excellent listeners because they're feeling your feelings.
Right.
They're really listening and like really tuned in.
Yeah.
So if you need someone to talk to, a clairsentient person's top of the list.
Because they're listening and connecting to you, but they're also getting information.
Yeah.
While you're talking.
It's sort of like, you know, we talk a lot about how people want to feel seen and they want to feel heard, but they also want to feel understood emotionally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like think about how much time people use up explaining how they feel.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you're anywhere near a clairsentient person who has clair empathy, like they instantly know how you feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
They often feel phantom touches.
Oh,
this happens to me when I'm tired. I feel like someone tapped me on the shoulder a lot and I'm like,
interesting.
And everyone in the room's like, what is going on? Okay. That happens. Feel very connected to animals.
Okay.
I think a lot of animals, especially certain ones, have a beautiful thing to their energy. I'm thinking of dogs for an example, where like they're so present. Like they're not like pulling the past energy in, like, you know what I mean? Like there's such a presence and like a almost not stupid, but like a simple joy to an animal like that. And so like a clairsentient person will like to be around that because it's almost like cleansing to their energy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But probably can't watch those commercials from our childhood with Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. No.
They tend to be good at reading auras. Now.
Okay.
Now. A lot of people think that this is a clairvoyant thing. And it is a clairvoyant thing. But the people who I see who like read auras will tell you colors, or they'll even have that like synesthesia where a name will spark a color or like more than that, are clairsentient people. Hmm. And I can't really explain why, except that I think the clairsentience comes in and I think something clairvoyantly has to like make sense of something.
Okay.
I don't know. That's my
interesting.
But all the people, like even the people who do that like aura photography,
yes.
I'll talk to them for a few minutes. Those are clairsentient people.
It's so cool.
I know. It is cool.
Interesting.
Okay. So then I just have a few tips to end with for people. Okay. For your clairsentience, for developing it and also protecting it, here's some things I think you should do. Work on shifting the energy around you versus letting it shift you.
Yes.
Okay. So you've kind of talked about this before when you don't understand it and you're like, why am I walking around the store feeling terrible?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to find a balance between throwing energy out into a room to shift it and feeling what the energy feels like in the room.
Right.
And it, again, like we talk about, there's not, my balance isn't your balance.
Correct.
Okay. My balance is going to be a lot more controlling.
Yeah.
Because that's who I am. Okay. Yeah. But some people want to feel more.
Yeah.
And shift less. Like, but there's a healthy spot for you in doing it. And that's what you need to find.
Agreed.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cord cutting is really helpful.
Ooh, yes.
Okay. Good point. You can look that up. I think we've talked about it in a lot of episodes, but just like finding the energetic ties to things and like either visualizing or writing or doing something that disconnects those things.
Yeah. We just talked about it in an obsessed segment.
With Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook groups.
Exactly.
Create easy ways to regularly ground during the day.
Yes.
Like the crystal, whatever you need to do.
Okay? Yes.
I read something recently, and by read, I mean, I saw on TikTok that drinking water is it doesn't ground your energy.
Why?
I don't know. They were saying like it takes you away from being grounded drinking water. And I just don't think that makes a lot of sense, but that made me throw my ring. That was that noise, everybody who's listening. My ring just went flying when I said that.
Your ring was done with that.
Well, how often do you see jewelry fly off my body?
A lot.
Yeah, that's something that happens. Like there's a crystal rock thing in that one. And so it exploded off of my body. It's fine. I'll grab it later. I don't think that's clairsentience.
That's energy for you.
Yeah, that's just energy. Okay. Your physical space is super, super important. Yes. So removing clutter, having paint colors that you really like, every once in a while getting like, I don't know, a new bedspread, new throw pillows, because the energy of the room is very, very like important to you. It affects you a
feeling,
lot.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, think about even if you're not super clairsentient, when you like update a room, how good that feels. Yeah. So being mindful of that. But like, I know for me, if I need to like relax and feel calm, there can't be clutter around. Agreed. There can't be stuff that needs to be put away.
Right.
Like, that's stressful. Okay. So you've said this a lot of times, but I'm going to say it one more time. Boundaries are so important.
Yes.
It's important for every Claire, but this one you really, really need to, because you're physically feeling stuff quite often.
Yeah.
And then the last one is one of my favorite tools for developing your clairsentience is candle gazing.
Oh.
Okay. So this creates space to feel feelings. More than I think a lot of the other ones.
Yeah.
So what you do is you light a candle. It has to be a real one, not one of the fakey ones, by the way. They don't work as well. But basically what you're doing is softening your eyes.
Right, your gaze. Yeah.
So you're like uber focused on the candle until your eyesight sort of goes glazed over, right? Uh-huh. Okay. And then you're just experiencing things. So like we talked about in many episodes, like not everyone meditates the same.
Yes.
So if you're a clairsentient person and you're trying to pick up feelings or understand what you picked up or pick up a sensation in someone, if you just go to meditate, it's going to be very difficult to develop the like, is that mine? Is that theirs? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if you, even the person's not in the room, you just think of them and you do candle gazing and you like tune into it, right? So you've taken out your eyesight and you're just in that space, like you would be in the shower or driving, where you can allow something up. That is a great way to like, oh, that's what my clairsentience feels like.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
So I like that, I love that one for people.
Yeah.
So I say try that.
Definitely.
I think we should do some coffee drinking and candle gazing. So we drink the coffee while we gaze at candles.
That's a very weird visual.
I mean, it works for me.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.